from there. So, and then it became more financial with the time. So mansions were started to, I mean, there's only two mansions there, I guess, and they are protected. But so
we are good to go.
I'd like that mansions to stay and build this work elsewhere. But it's like New York. If you look at the buildings here, I mean, they have a history of. We've been to Flatiron Building. I mean, we thought it could be open to visitation, but it's not. But it's amazing to look at the history of the city through its buildings. I like that.
Yeah. A lot of if you go down Madison Avenue here, there's many tall buildings, but you get to a few of the very old mansions from 100 years ago that have now been converted into restaurants or museums and things like that. So they're not knocking everything down, which is good.
Which is really good.
So Nate says we can get going. So I'm just going to practice your last name one more time. Guillaume?
Guillaume.
Guillaume. Guillaume. Okay.
Carlos Eduardo Guillaume.
Guillaume. If I don't do it right the first time, I'll do it the second.
Okay.
We're joined today by Carlos Eduardo Guillaume of Confar. Now I'm going to get you fine. Confrapar. Confrapar. Okay. We're joined today by Carlos Eduardo Guillaume of Confrapar. Welcome, Carlos, to PRICAP today. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
You invest in Brazil. Your specialty is technology, and I'm very interested in hearing about your strategy and how you see the Brazilian technology scene developing. Why don't you just start with a basic overview of your firm's strategy?
Okay. Well, Confrapar is a private equity fund manager. We invest in growth capital companies within the range of $10 million to $30 million in revenues. And actually, we invest in those companies from specific sectors, which are education, healthcare, media, and financial services.
A lot of international investors are certainly aware of Brazil as a destination to invest right now. It's become very popular with the international institutional investors. But what do these investors need to understand about the kind of the technology sector in Brazil and the ability to make money investing there?
Well, first of all, most investors got the idea that they have to come for the leaders of those industries, and they often go. But their strategy is to invest in the leaders and then consolidate the sector. We also go to the leaders of the industries, but we make different questions. We ask them, who is providing solutions, smart solutions for your business? And they name like 8 to 10 companies, mid-market companies. And that's our target. Mm-hmm. So that's the company we would fund.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about how you would source an investment or how you, I guess you would start a platform for this style of investing that you pursue.
Yeah, that's one strategy. So being to the leaders and asking them direct questions of who is providing them the best solutions, and most times these companies are under the radar for other funds. So most funds in Brazil are doing consolidation, even though they call themselves growth. So they are consolidating their sectors. So we have a real growth approach. So one way is to go straight to the leaders and ask them. The other way would be we have come up with an advisor network in Brazil of people, C-level positions in companies such as, I don't know if I can mention companies here, IBM, Google, or...
It's up to you. I mean, I think...
Okay, so we came up with a strategy of creating a network of advisors in Brazil. So these are senior people in the industry of technology and also in the industries we invest in, which are education, healthcare, and media. So they are bringing us the deals. So let's say IBM made a partnership with a company, and it's a small company, it's a mid-market company. So it's good for IBM that this company gets funded. It's also good for the company and good for us because we leverage on IBM's name. So that strategy has been working for us for some time.
Talk about the importance of the domestic Brazilian market, which is, of course, very large, versus the importance of trying to build companies that can cross borders and win international business.
Okay. First of all, in Brazil, I mean, we are not selecting those sectors by chance. So there was an emergence of middle class in Brazil last year. Actually, it's been for 10 years now, but last year, everyone saw protests in Brazil, especially in July, and those people were asking for better services. They were demanding high quality services in education and healthcare. So those sectors are highly demanded. And the productivity in Brazil is historically low. So we count on technology to provide better productivity for those sectors. Back to your question where the companies are local or global. When we invest in the companies, they are mainly local. So we even invest outside of São Paulo. So the main hub, the main financial hub is São Paulo, but many of the providers are still around universities, are still on in the countryside. And when we bring those companies to São Paulo, they get more visibility, and then we start to think of internationalizing those companies.
Can you talk about a recent investment that your firm has made that is a good example of the kind of strategy that you pursue?
Okay, we made an investment this month in a company that provides technology for logistics in the oil and gas sector. This company was sourced by our network, so not from those guys, but from one of our investors. We used to attend a lot of family offices investing, and family offices are also a source of deals in Brazil because they are a reference to the entrepreneurs. So they come to the family offices and asking for money, for advice. So these family offices just referred us this company. And this company didn't think of having a board of advisor or a board of directors. So we named one IBM director to the board of this company and another director from a company from Houston here. So this company was a local company. They had good customers in Brazil. Some were already global customers, but the company was not a global company. So now that they have a director here in US, they are able to actually become a global company.
So it sounds like they were interested in partnering with you, not just because you had capital, but because you could connect them with this
yeah,
support.
That's true. We try to build that trust when we are analyzing the company. So they understand it's not only capital. Actually, there's only a few funds doing that in Brazil right now in that middle market area. So they are not writing checks. We write checks of $5-10 million. So that's not usual in Brazil. So these companies have no other alternatives, even credit, for getting money. So they are actually, they have some kind of aversion to capital. Mm-hmm. They think the funds are going to take over the company, and we take minority positions. And we start saying that we open doors, we bring people, and we even do that before investing, before having the document signed, we are opening doors to the companies.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your background. Before you started the firm, you were with Ericsson Corporate Venture in Brazil. How long were you there, and what did you learn about investing while you were there?
Those were the 90s, so late 90s. So there was a lot of euphoria towards technology. But if I learned something, there was the euphoria, and then there was the crash. And just a few companies in the region, in Latin America, made through the crash. And if I can recall, only the companies that had good customers or big customers made through. So it tells us something that maybe we are not finding a new technology blockbuster in Brazil. But that's not what we are looking for. We are looking for technology that provides solution. Basic solutions for businesses that need to keep in pace with the growth. So if we're doing that, having a good customer in the companies is good for us to do gypsy as the company and also as a leverage for expanding commercially.
Well, that was all my questions. Is there an aspect of your investment strategy that I've forgotten to ask you about or you think would make for an interesting question and I can add it on?
I thought that some of my questions were, too fast. Maybe maybe I should answer some again.
Do you want me to re-ask the first question?
The first one?
Oh, which answer do you feel not happy about?
Oh, I think one point that's very important and that perhaps wasn't very well stressed is the fact that we operate in a sector of the private equity chain that's underserved in Brazil. Like you said, that these companies don't have access to credit or even equity capital because there are so many funds. I don't know if you want to...
Sure, I can ask a question about
emphasize that. That's very important.
Thank you.
Let me set it up and you tell me if it's appropriate. Brazil is the most, the largest and most mature private equity market in Latin America. There's a lot of private equity GPs in Brazil. What makes your firm distinct and what part of the market are you serving?
Well, that's a good question. Brazil has a lot of funds and has become of interest for many international funds to invest and to deploy money into mature companies. So when you take the private equity as a whole, you see that most funds are investing in consolidating sectors. So they write $100 million check, they have $50 million checks, but actually we are writing smaller checks, 5 to 10 million checks, in the companies that are under the radar for those funds. And we are investing in companies that provide solutions for the leaders, not the leaders. So that's, when we enter the companies, there is no competition for the assets. But when you're about to exit the company, there is a lot of interest in the companies we have invested in.
Well, great. Well, why don't we do this? I'd like to ask you the Portuguese question.
Okay.
And maybe I could ask you to say exactly what you told me now, which is, you know, what is distinct about your... the kinds of companies that you invest in, what is unique about them, and why do they need private equity? Is that a good question?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're all set for Portuguese. So I'll ask in English, you answer in Portuguese. When we produce this, I'll be cut out of the of the English. So, and then the question will appear on screen in Portuguese.
But,
so tell me about your firm's strategy and the specific sector of the business market that you serve.
Bom, no Brasil, a maior parte dos fundos que estão investindo em private equity estão buscando empresas já consolidadas, empresas já maduras, estão consolidando esse mercado. O nosso foco foi buscar empresas do mid-market, empresas menores, escrever cheques de 5 a 10 milhões de dólares para empresas... me perdi. Sorry.
Can I start over?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Portuguese, you
just forget all
that. Yeah, yeah. I started to put so many English terms that I lost the Portuguese.
I think it's important for you to say that these companies don't have access to credit, reasonable credit, and few private equity funds are.
Thank you.
So let's start over. Tell me about the sector of the market that you serve and why they would need private equity.
Bom, nós investimos em empresas de tecnologia, mas são empresas de tecnologia que provêm serviços para os líderes de alguns setores específicos, como educação, saúde, mídia e serviços financeiros. Essas empresas, são empresas do middle market, elas não têm acesso no Brasil a linhas de crédito razoáveis e nem a outros fundos que possam fazer investimento. Então, quando a gente entra nessas empresas... nós somos dos poucos fundos que podem realmente colocar uma term sheet na mesa. E quando essas empresas crescem, depois que a gente consegue crescer o faturamento dessas empresas numa ordem de 7, 10, 12 vezes, essas empresas já se tornam atraentes para outros players do mercado ou comprarem a empresa ou mesmo para outros fundos investirem nas empresas.
Obrigado.
Thank you.
I think we can wrap it up. So this will come out, I need to coordinate with...